He watches your fantasy games for you. He's here to help you crush your leagues, baby. Finally, somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about on this podcast. Oh, yeah. When you want straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince of Muka Maka 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 Maka.
Hope you enjoyed your weekend. Let's get you set for week 11. It is Monday, June 9th, early first pitch, 1:10 Eastern time, and 12 games on the schedule. Adam Azer here with Scott White, and we welcome back Michael Hurkum from his week-long vacation.
Yeah, y'all miss me?
Yeah. So where were you? Tell everybody.
I went to Little Viva Las Vegas, you know, had a little fun there, celebrating my 30th birthday. So.
Oh, that's why you went.
Nice.
So all three of us turning 30 this year. And you, the two of you have, and I'm
you're
a little over a week
still lagging. Got to catch up, Adam.
And as everybody, people who listen to this show know, I'm going to a Boys to Men concert for my 30th birthday.
That's coming up a few weeks, man.
Yeah, not quite Vegas, but the
I didn't know
best
that
thing.
I didn't know that. No.
He's been saying he's been all about this for months now. I mean,
I must not listen to the show.
Must have been an Al Herc episode. All right, Kendrys Morales is on the Twins. A lot of young pitchers had some eye-opening starts, either good or bad. Eddie Butler, bad. Kevin Gausman, good. We'll talk about that. Some injuries to update you on. Bullpens. Bullpens were big this weekend. Grant Balfour has been terrible. Joe Nathan's been bad. Addison Reed stinks. The Cubs situation's interesting. Henry Mejia's been struggling. Blah, 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 blah. Let's get right to it. We got the most added, most dropped players coming up. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. That's our email address. So send us an email and put baseball podcast, your grade, the trade in the subject line. And watch the video show live noon Eastern. Kendrys Morales signed with the Twins. He is 57% owned. They released Jason Kubel. Morales is good power. He's had good home road splits when he's been with the Angels and the Mariners last year and the year before. 22 home runs last year, or 23 last year, 22 the year before in 134 games. Where are you guys ranking Kendrys Morales?
Well, he's behind like the Morneau group. It's probably behind LaRoche for me, too. This is not where I wanted to see him end up.
No, Minnesota's, I don't think anybody did.
Yeah, it's another pitcher's park. That's the only place he's only played in pitcher's parks in his career. And at least the last, 2 years? It's made him fall short of 25 home runs as a guy who doesn't walk much at all. So, I mean, obviously he's going to be relevant in fantasy, but I think he's going to settle in as more of a corner infield type. Probably not have much use in the points leagues at all because of the lack of walks and because there's so many good first basemen already.
Jonathan Singleton or Kendrys Morales?
Jonathan Singleton.
Yeah, That's close. I think I'll go Singleton, too.
And you said he's ahead of Morneau for you, but Morneau's been struggling.
He's behind Morneau.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's what you meant.
He's behind Morneau for you. Morneau's been struggling.
Yeah.
So if the Morneau owner is panicking right now, would you still suggest sticking it out with him?
I would, especially since it seems like Kadire's going to go on the DL now. That ensures his playing time.
How about you?
My thing is, why couldn't Mitch Moreland get hurt 2 days earlier or something like that? Have you seen how bad the Texas first base situation is?
Well, Donnie Murphy, seen anything, but...
Donnie Murphy started yesterday. He's the first baseman right now. You know who their first baseman at AAA is? Adam Rosales.
Well...
And they promoted Joey Gallo to AA, but Joey Gallo doesn't play first base. Joey Gallo plays third base in DH.
What about Joey Callo?
There we go.
C-A-L-L-O.
Exactly. They had Elvis Andrews batting cleanup yesterday, I think. Their top four in their lineup was really weird.
Yeah.
You know, the box score I read might have been wrong.
Maybe.
It was so funky that I got to double check on that.
Maybe Theo.
Everybody forget what I just said.
Maybe Theo will be like, you know, I whipped you guys off in the Matt Garza deal last year. I'll give you Mike Holt back for nothing. You need help.
Charitable.
Miguel Cabrera left yesterday's game with left hamstring tightness. So keep an eye on that. That was a night game. Don't have much of an update there. Are there any must-add players right now in your minds? To me, I didn't really think so.
It was a lame weekend for ads, I think.
I think the must-add players right now might be the backup closers. If you are a Nathan owner, although Chamberlain went out yesterday and was terrible, gave up a three-run homer.
Which cost you in our podcast league matchup there.
If Jabba Chamberlain had just, for goodness sake, gotten the save, I would have beaten Scott White.
Because Lackey would have ended up with a loss instead of a win. Yeah.
But instead, no. Oh, Lackey got a win? No, he didn't get a win. He's got no decision. Oh, maybe he did get a win.
I think he did get a win.
Yeah, because he pitched the eighth.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's why it was so lopsided at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have mattered whether he got the win or not for our matchup because I was up by one, but it looked like Lackey was going to lose. So, yeah.
Yep. So I would have beaten you. I would have beaten you by 1 point, though, because you would have gotten three for the quality start.
Yeah.
Minus five
oh, wow.
Loss.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome for everyone.
not for me.
No, for yeah, it would have been great.
And apparently I learned that Adam went on some Twitter rant about this, so if I
was pretty pissed off. But
check his Twitter
account. Signed off as soon as he gave up the three-run homer. I didn't even want to deal with the backlash. And then there's Balfour, who's been struggling. And I think Brad Ziegler's a guy you got to have on your radar. He has given up three earned runs over his last four. He got a save yesterday, but gave up a Ramiro Pena home run. But Addison Reed's been bad. And then I don't know what's going on with the Cubs. Strope got a save on Saturday and then got roughed up on Sunday. Rondon has been off a little bit. And I'm intrigued by Neil Ramirez.
Yep. I am too. I was actually... when Rondon had this bad outing after Ramirez had filled in for him before that, right? Because he was tired. He'd pitched 2 days in a row.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So Ramirez got a save on Friday.
Yeah. And his numbers are, in terms of ERA, whip, and strikeout rate, are just phenomenal. So I was actually kind of hoping that this Rondon blown save would get Ramirez more opportunities. But then if Strope was the one going in, yeah, you're right. It's confusing. I still think Rondon and then Ramirez is the order I'd rank the Cubs relievers in terms of how I want to own them. But they've created some doubt there for sure.
Joe Maddon said Grant Balfour is our closer right now, and if I were going to make a change, I wouldn't tell you guys anyway. Herc, what would you do if in the Rays bullpen there? Who would you look for?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I mean, the guy that everyone's been hoping for years has been Jake McGee, but I'm not sure with – I like Grant Balfour. I'm with Joe Maddon on that one. I think he's got the pedigree to continue in that role, so I'm not giving up on him.
Balfour gave up 5 runs in an inning against the Mariners. He had only allowed 1 run on 3 hits in his previous 8 outings.
Yeah, I mean, I was – having trouble moving down my rankings for weeks, I kind of did. But, again, he's got a proven track record. You know, Joe Maddon likes to stick with these guys and see what they do.
Are we all thinking Joe Nathan's still the guy?
Because Chamberlain blew it. I mean, I think that I had a claim in for Chamberlain in one of my fab leagues, so it was going to go through overnight, and I canceled it after this happened. But Nathan, I mean, he has an ERA over 7 now, so it's kind of like I feel like you need to have somebody who can replace him in fantasy. Not saying dropping him, but you can't trust him right now. Even if I do think the Tigers are going to stick with him,
do you think that Brad Ausmus would trust Corey Knebel at some point because he's got future closer written all over him?
Maybe at some point. I don't think we're close to that now.
And any concerns about Henry Mejia, Herc?
Oh, absolutely. I don't understand managers these days. Isn't the whole point of the closer role to instill confidence in these guys? And if you're going to yank them after a few bad outings or because their ERA isn't spectacular? I mean, we've been talking about all these guys. I mean, even Trevor Rosenthal has an ERA that's high, and his strikeout rate's phenomenal. I mean, guys like Mike Matheny that I think they have a little more confidence in these guys. But how many guys are we going to go through the Mets closers here? We're going to have like 15 by the end of the year.
Well, would you be picking up anyone else? Like Familia or?
I saw Jerry's Familia get picked up in a few leagues. I already own him in one deeper one.
Mejia's given up 5 runs in his last 3 outings, just to put it in context.
Yeah, I don't think that's...
Yeah.
I would guess Mejia would get the next save opportunity if I had to guess. But Familia is, I would think, the backup plan.
But, yeah, and you're absolutely right. And let's face it, the Mets rushed Mejia into this role. I mean, they didn't even give him a chance to, really pitch a long time in middle relief to just get back to used to relief. And they threw him in the role right away. I don't think Terry Collins knows what he's doing with that bullpen. Yeah, Familia's the backup guy, in my opinion, too.
Okay. Any other must-add players in your minds?
Go ahead.
The one I Willingham, I guess, if he was still out there, but he was picked up in all my leagues, so I didn't really count him. But one I did make sure didn't go unowned in the few of my leagues where he was available was Marcus Stroman.
Oh God, yeah, that he looked so good.
Yeah,
start.
And two starts in a row now, and his only two major league starts, because remember they stuck him in the bullpen at first, and that didn't go well. So you can't really blame him for that, I don't feel like. The minor league track record is everything you want, high strikeout rate, low walk rate, and two starts in now, I see no reason why you should leave him for somebody else.
Would you drop Jorge De La Rosa for Marcus Stroman?
I would. I know Herc's the biggest De La Rosa fan.
Really? I like De La Rosa. Yeah. Wow.
Would you drop Tim Lincecum for Marcus Stroman?
I would.
Yes.
Would you drop Drew Hutchison for Stroman? It's not just the thing. It's getting a little weird here. His ERA at home is eight.
And is it all home away? I never think to check that. I know he's been very inconsistent.
I'll give you the splits. It's unbelievable.
Really in terms of everything. Innings along with...
One and three with an 8.72 ERA at home. 3-1 with a 2.03 ERA on the road. And he walks a lot of batters at home, and he's thrown 21 innings and 5 starts at home.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say to anybody, if you want to make that move, it's a bad move. That's fine with me. I have a little more faith in Hutchison. But
here's my stat on Hutchison. I knew I had something. 4 quality starts all year.
All on the road?
Well, I don't know if they're all on the road, but that's all he's had all year because there's been so many 5-inning outings mixed in and then so many 4-plus earned run outings mixed in. Yeah. His overall numbers still look decent. Yeah. I might drop him for Stroman just because of the frustration factor, though I still think Hutchison's, in the end, his numbers are going to look pretty good.
Can I throw 2 quick names at you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still on the Ryan Vogelson soapbox. 79%. I think it needs to be well over 90. I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago, just about how he's a top 40 pitcher in rotisserie and head-to-head, and he's pitching like that again.
Yeah, when he was at his best.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jaime Garcia. I mean, one bad start, his ownership gets just plummeted, and he comes back and he bounces back on this again. This guy doesn't kill him. He did walk 3 guys yesterday, but he usually doesn't kill himself with walks. Hits, and he just doesn't compound all the. I mean, he does get hit hard at times, but he doesn't walk batters, and he has decent strikeout rate, and they win games for him. He's on the contender, so I think those 2 pitchers can be mixed league worthy, and at the back of your rotation, you can start them when they got good matchups.
All right, would you rather have Garcia or Stroman?
I'm going to go Garcia here.
I'm going Stroman.
Garcia, 7 scoreless at Toronto, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. And then the other guys that looked like potential must-adds I thought were more for deep leagues, like Eugenio Suarez I could see helping you out.
Mm-hmm.
Is David Peralta anyone we need to keep an eye on? Arizona outfielder, he's batting .429 with 3 doubles and a home run in 7 games.
I am keeping an eye on him. He's kind of an interesting case, kind of Daniel Nava-ish, in that he was in the independent league and, consistently hitting well there. And then in the minors, a couple years there, high average, decent power, not a high walk rate or anything, but reason to believe that this could be the translation of that those numbers in the minors. He could just be that kind of player in the big leagues also.
Okay.
More of a deeper league guy.
Yeah, but. I said Chris Colabello, but now you bring up Nava. I mean, look at both of those guys. They had their runs in the minors, came up. I mean, Colabello wasn't any good, but another independent league guy, and then just kind of fading in the background. I mean, I know Colabello's had a few decent games recently, but I'm not buying David Peralta.
All right, well, yeah, I mean... Just saying, he's a guy.
Right. I mean, like, 3% pick him up in NL-only league, keep an eye on him just to see if this continues.
And then another guy.
I had never heard of him before this weekend. So
okay,
that's
well,
why,
good. I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Another guy, Brock Holt, played left field last night for the Red Sox, made a great catch at the wall, and he's killing it right now. Look up the numbers here. 32% owned. He had 4 hits yesterday, 339. A lot of strikeouts, 24 in 28 games, but not a guy with much of a track record, but it looks like they want to keep him in the lineup, and if he keeps batting leadoff for the Red Sox, and he's third base eligible, is Brock Holt the guy that we need to be adding?
I'm going to say no to that, because, I mean, it's just guys with no power, no speed, regardless of whether playing time continues.
Sounds like my softball career.
Yeah. Which, you know, there's still a question about the playing time. So I would say AL only and limit it to that.
Forever young. Let's look at some young starting pitchers and how they did this weekend. And I'll give you their ownership percentages, and you tell me if you think it's too high, too low, or if the porridge is just right. Eddie Butler, 25% owned, gave up 10 hits and 6 runs and 5 1/3 against the Dodgers. Rockies starting pitcher, 25%.
Just right.
Yeah, maybe a little higher, but I don't like him for mixed leagues, really.
Marcus Stroman, 52%, 6 innings, 7 hits, 1 walk, or 1 run, 2 walks, 7 Ks, and his last start was 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, no walk, 6 Ks. And he did them both at home, which is good to see.
He did that well, Adam.
I did?
He was reading all those stats
together. Stroman, 52%.
Well, it's 60% now,
according
60. To the latest literature here.
There we go, 60%.
But still, I would say he needs to go up.
I can buy that.
Kevin Gausman, 38%. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts against Oakland. Second start of the year, his first one didn't go so well.
Yeah, this is one of those I write something negative about Kevin Gausman before his start because I have to comment before the start.
As well you should.
Yeah, and that he does this, so there's probably some nasty things written about me on his player page, so I advise you not to check that out. But in the meantime, I still have my concerns about Gausman because he doesn't really have a third pitch, and he hadn't gone 7 innings in a single minor league start this year. In his earlier start, he was great through 4, ran out of steam in the 5th inning, gave up a bunch of runs then. So I just wonder about if he's really ready to be extended, if he really has the arsenal for that. I mean, there's obviously worse flyers out there. I'd take him over Butler, but I'm not counting on him to be a big-time mixed league contributor yet.
I think his ownership needs to be higher, especially his SPARP eligibility. 37 is a little too low. So,
all right, it's Kevin Gausman. Ruby De La Rosa, 32%, got roughed up at Detroit. Was really good in his previous start, though.
Either just right or too high.
Yeah. It strikes me as a little low, but like if I was ranking them, I'd go Stroman, Gausman, De La Rosa, Butler.
And what about Chase Anderson?
He'd be at the bottom.
Wow. I like Chase Anderson. I think his ownership is too low.
Again, 17%.
Yeah, that's way too low. Look, he's winning. He's a winner in the minors. Hey, he may not have the pedigree, but this guy's a winner.
He's Tim Tebow.
He's a winner.
Winner, man.
Plays for the Diamondbacks, who actually haven't been that bad since their horrible start.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a dominating pitcher. You're never going to call him your fantasy ace. And is he going to, what does he have, like 7 starts and he's got 5 wins already? I mean, that's
but
not
the thing is,
at that rate, but he's a good pitcher. He just knows how to pitch.
The thing is, if I'm going for a non-strikeout pitcher on the Diamondbacks,
you want Bronson Arroyo.
Exactly. Like, I'd go for him before I went for Anderson.
Well, that takes us through our young starting pitchers. Let's talk some weekend standouts here. And later on in the show, we got to get to Max Scherzer, John Lester, Alex Cobb. These guys have been struggling. Tanner Roark has been really good. I was very lucky to be able to add him.
Yeah, you were.
In a league.
Although, that start he had, what was it, 11 strikeouts?
Oh, I know.
Career high.
I know who it was against.
Beating his previous career high, 8. I think those are his only 2 starts this year over 5, and both against the Padres, who then gave up a shutout to Zimmerman the next day.
I just don't care about strikeouts in head-to-head points leagues.
At all?
It has to be
some.
Like It has to be like, you know, you have to be either so good or so bad at strikeouts. But quality starts, wins, ERA, that kind of stuff. Pitching, you know, pitching well enough to win, that's more important to me than strikeouts in those types of leagues.
Sure, sure.
Roto leagues is completely, completely different.
No, and I think Roark needs to be owned in both. But it, but since you opened that can of worms, I will add that a pitcher who misses bats is always going to be more consistent.
Oh, yeah.
Just, well, not always. I shouldn't say always. There's exceptions, obviously. But generally speaking, a pitcher who misses bats is going to be more consistent than one who doesn't. So that's helpful across all formats.
Yeah. Right. I get the value of strikeouts when you're evaluating a player. But if I see, I mean, we're 10 weeks in.
Sure.
Roark's been this good.
Loesch, Hudson.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it.
That's, you got to listen to Al Melker. That's his boy.
That Vogel song is another guy where, you know, you even talked about, Scott, how he's not going to kill you in strikeouts. Maybe he's around 7 per 9. But I just think the fact that they've got a good bullpen, they've got a good team, he's going to win games, he's going to pitch deep enough into games. That's why I like him in those formats in particular.
Jaime Garcia, then, you're a fan of.
Well, you talk about Jaime Garcia. He's too inconsistent for me.
How? He's like his ERA in his career is like 3.30 or something.
But the whip's always been high because of the hits.
He gets hits, yeah.
Yeah, he gives up a lot of hits.
Yeah, but again, he's on a contender.
He is. And, you know, Shelby Miller, like, you can make the same argument for Miller, for Garcia, that I make for Miller. It's like his fantasy production is probably going to be better than his pitching, because all he has to do is get you to the sixth or the seventh inning, they turn it over to their bullpen, and there's a good chance he gets a win out of it.
I think more people are just scared of Garcia's durability issues. Stuff like, when's it coming again?
Miller threw a complete game shutout, by the way. Starling Marte sat for the fourth straight game on Saturday. He was in an 0-for-23 funk. He started on Sunday, and he stole a base. But I think he's 0-for-26 now.
Yeah, he needs Gregory Polanco to come up in the worst way and take the pressure off.
Well, but the question is Josh Harrison a threat to Starling Marte now? Or Starling Marte a huge bust? What do you guys think about him?
I don't know. I don't think Marte, or sorry, Harrison's really much of a threat to Marte, because I mean, you look at what Marte is in terms of pedigree. You look at what he was doing earlier this year before this extended slump. He was still he wasn't hitting 300 or anything, but he was still good enough. They signed him to a long-term deal this offseason. He hasn't been B.J. Upton bad, so it's not. And look, B.J. Upton's still starting, so it's not like they're going to pull the plug on him this soon. If the slump continues after Polanco gets up, maybe Harrison will spell Marte at times. Maybe he'll spell Alvarez at times. But I don't see it being a situation where Marte isn't the primary starter there.
And we are expecting Polanco shortly. Lonnie Chisenhall, 75% owned, started against a lefty again on Sunday, keeps on hitting. Carlos Santana's back. Now, Nick Swisher's not back yet. That's going to happen possibly Thursday. And then I don't know what happens on that infield. But Chisenhall, 75% owned, you know, is he opening your eyes, guys? He's hitting great.
You're looking at me, Herc?
Yeah, I mean, I heard some things about, you know, Chisenhall, like, you know, when this guy finally hits his prime, he's going to be one of those players that, you know, you can't miss. He's got a lot of talent there. He's been kind of slow at the beginning of his career, but, you know, Brandon Phillips was, and then Brandon Phillips finally turned it on when he turned about 26, 27. We were a little bit shy of that for Chisenhall. Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued, but, you know, Nick Swisher is going to play first base. I mean, Francona already says he's a huge Nick Swisher fan. He's not moving him off first. Got to have him in the
lineup.
So then just
DH Santana.
Well, there's other places. Remember early in the year it was Santana mostly at third and Chisenhall mostly at DH.
Yeah.
Chisenhall has it right-handers. I mean, against right-handers, he's starting. There's no doubt about that. It's just, will the left-handed thing become a regular thing? And last I checked, he was doing fine against left-handers, so maybe it should. That's really what I'm waiting for before buying into him completely.
Okay. Shelby Miller, complete game shutout, but only 5 strikeouts. He's got 53 strikeouts and 77 and two-thirds.
Yeah. Now, Shelby Miller, remember, the last few starts, he had gotten away from throwing his cutter so much. He'd gotten back to throwing his curveball, and that's was his secondary, his primary secondary pitch, if you follow that word.
Yeah, yeah.
The first third of last year when he was dominant. Earlier this year, remember, he was walking a lot of hitters. 7 walks in his last 5. Now, they haven't all been as great overall as this start. They haven't been shutouts, obviously. But the walk rate has improved significantly. 7 in last 5 compared to 27 in his first 8. But I did notice he didn't throw his curveball as much in this start. So that kind of still has me wondering, what's the deal, Shelby Miller, with the Arsenal? He didn't throw his cutter as much, though. So it's just curveball good, cutter bad. He didn't throw the curveball in this one, but he didn't throw the cutter either. He threw changeups more. So maybe he's still trending in the right direction to start as far as getting his arsenal figured out. And that's something, it's an interesting side note for him in particular, because coming up through the minors, the Cardinals really had to get on him for shaking off the catcher's signs too much. He was a guy who he was headstrong about what he wanted to do on the mound, to his own detriment in the minors. So if he's been doing that in the majors also, you could understand why he's fallen off so much.
Yeah. Well, look at his numbers. You know, I don't know now in his last few starts, but before I went on vacation, his numbers, his first time through the lineup, he was dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Second, third time, he was getting hit hard. So maybe he wasn't adjusting. He's like, oh, this worked for me. Hitters were adjusting to him. He wasn't adjusting to hitters.
Yeah.
He's got one of the best defensive catchers in the major leagues behind the plate. Listen to Yadier Molina.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a good point, Herc. Obviously, this last start was different, but the previous start against the Royals, 5 or 6 scoreless innings, and then he gave up 4 runs in the seventh. I think 6 scoreless innings, and then the seventh and the eighth, he gave up 4 runs. So point taken. And how about Henderson Alvarez, guys? He's got a bit of a hip injury. They say he's going to make his next start. But 2.56 ERA, not a lot of strikeouts. He allowed his first earned run in 4 starts yesterday against the Cubs on the road, and just pitching really well, 68% owned.
This is 1 earned run in his last 4 starts. 2 of them were less than 6 innings, but he left with an injury both times. So, you know, the stretch could maybe even look better than it does. I still can't bring myself to buy into him.
Like, if the Stroman's out there and Alvarez is out there, you're going Stroman. I know you're going Stroman.
Oh, yeah, about for sure.
Yeah, I go Stroman for the fact that I think Henderson Alvarez splits. I mean, he's so much better at home, and you can't trust him really on the road. But this is a guy that was a top-10 prospect for the Blue Jays.
Yeah,
so they knew he had talent.
I know. I just see a lot of... I just see a lot of Fausto Carmona in him, and I say Fausto Carmona deliberately, because back when he was Fausto Carmona, people had this kind of hope for him too.
Right.
Sinker baller who the stuff looks good, doesn't get a lot of strikeouts, and just gets shelled from time to time. And Alvarez has too, even though his overall ERA looks great. It's been less consistent than it has for Carmona, but I still worry it could come back to bite him again eventually.
When sinker ballers don't have their sinker,
yeah,
they get killed. injuries, news, and notes. Jed Jerko on the DL with plantar fasciitis. D. Gordon left Saturday's game with a hip injury. He missed Sunday's game. Same thing with Yasiel Puig. Start or sit?
Starting Puig, maybe not Gordon.
Garrett Cole on the DL with shoulder fatigue, and Jeff Locke pitched well against Milwaukee. 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. This was his second start of the season. His first was terrible against San Francisco.
Do you think Garrett Cole's really hurt, or they're trying to protect him?
Oh, come on. What did you drink out there in Vegas? Don't answer that.
He's been pitching well, and then he goes on the DL with shoulder fatigue?
What the hell are you talking about? Why would there be anything sketchy about this?
Protect his innings. I mean, did Tony Cingrani, I mean, he wasn't pitching well before he got hurt.
They're actually starting to play decently. They need to get back in the race, and they're going to shut down their best pitcher.
Shoulder fatigue? It's not like he was terrible.
Happens.
I guess, but
they're being cautious.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, but they're not like, let's shut
down. So he woke up in my sore shoulder. All right, DL, no Tommy John. Let's just do this.
I'm not indulging you. Any interest in Jeff Locke?
Very little.
Joey Votto began a rehab assignment yesterday. Carlos Beltran still feeling some pain in his elbow, and he said he can't push himself like he used to. And I dropped him.
I saw you dropped him in a league, but...
Shallow league, 3 outfielders.
And
Scott picked him up.
Shallow league where not everybody pays as close attention as they should, so you can get away with a little more. I actually dropped Starling Marte in that same league, and I wouldn't advise most people to do that, but I just needed to carry more pitchers.
I don't know that Beltran's going to be able to stay healthy, and I could end up regretting that, but I had too many players. It wasn't even an app drop.
Right,
it was
exactly.
Just a drop.
And in that league, you're not really going to be able to make a quick trade.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Do you know who I picked up in our 16-team league, Adam? Cole Calhoun. I could not
believe
he was
too.
On the DL.
Oh,
I mean, on the
crazy.
Injury waivers, excuse me.
I can't believe you were able to get him.
I know. I need to get rid of Seth Smith, too. So I was like, this is a good trade-off.
There you go. Mitch Moreland's going to be out 3 months with the ankle injury. Matt Holliday was out Sunday with a sore back. Check on that. Anthony Rendon is expected to play today. Rougned Odor left Sunday's game with a shoulder strain. Colton Wong's been out with a shoulder injury.
Ever since you guys picked him up in the 16-team league, he's been hurt, man.
I know. Stupid Jamie. Derek Norris. Did you guys see all the A's Orioles
oh,
stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Manny Machado hit Derek Norris with his backswing in the mask twice yesterday. That, like, never happens. He did it twice. And then later, they threw at Manny Machado because he got all mad at Josh Donaldson on Friday for tagging him too hard, and he hit Norris in the face mask twice and didn't seem very sorry about it. In fact, he was smiling about it. Excuse me.
Was it a really hard tag? I looked at it. I thought Josh Donaldson missed 50 times before he finally got him.
That's the only thing I haven't seen for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
Way to bail Adam out of his coughing fit
Thank
there,
Herb. So Machado throws the bat as he gets thrown at. It goes flying out of his hands near third base, and then the bench is cleared. It was weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm a reliever here, all right? You know, and I get to keep my closer's role, so you're welcome, Adam.
Okay, good. Well, I'm taking it back now. Norris is expected to play today. Tyler Thornburg's on the DL, and Mike Fiers will pitch out of the bullpen for Milwaukee. Any chance he becomes a starter?
No.
Thornburg, I don't know. I saw
Thornburg
Al said
become
something
a starter.
In an email, and I, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, somebody gets hurt, maybe, but.
Scott mentioned that Kadire could be headed to the DL. Andre Ethier was out Sunday with a back issue, not being considered serious right now. Noah Syndergaard does not have a serious shoulder injury.
All right.
Dylan G at least 2 weeks away from returning. And Max Scherzer said something interesting in an SI article. He said he took out an insurance policy going into his contract year this year, and he said he talked to Scott Boras about injuries to pitchers. He said, quote, look at all the Tommy John injuries. They keep happening to young pitchers with less than 4 years in the major leagues. So I just thought that was interesting, maybe if you're looking ahead and drafting next year or something like that, and if you're worried about pitcher injuries.
I don't know. What about all the pitchers that hadn't had Tommy John surgery less than 4 years in the majors? I mean, it's just such a blanket statement to make.
It is. But I thought it was interesting.
Fair enough.
Most added, most dropped players. Josh Willingham's number one. Stroman, two. Morales, three. Josh Harrison, four. 29% owned. Corey Dickerson, five. Would you guys rather own Dickerson or Willingham?
Willingham.
Yep, the hammer.
Cody Allen, six. Got another save over the weekend. Vogelsong, seven. Danks, eight. Singleton, nine. Holt, 10. Danny Santana. I don't think we've mentioned him yet. 17% owned. Shortstop eligible. Playing outfield for Minnesota. And Kevin Gausman, 12. Santana, do you think he could get regular playing time and contribute?
Brian Gardenhire is creative with his lineups, and he'll play the guy that's hitting well. I mean, we saw Kurt Suzuki get some time at DH just because he was hitting, getting on base. So I could see it if he continues to hit, absolutely.
Did Aaron Hicks get sent back down? They were talking about it.
I don't think so. I think he's there. I think he might have been a little banged up. But, yeah, I was thinking.
He dropped switch hitting recently, and so they wanted him to get more bats against righties or something. But
he's pretty replaceable, I think, unless Santana's not good defensively. But you could see this lineup now being Santana, Dozier, Maurer, Morales, Arcia, Willingham.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
No, it's not.
Plouffe.
It's not. It's really not. I don't know that I have a lot of confidence in Santana individually. Obviously, AL only, you're owning him. He is more of a base stealer than Eduardo Escobar, but I don't think he's going to be a huge help in the category.
Okay. And
speaking of Arcia, that's a good pickup for fantasy owners. I mean, yeah, in points
he
leagues,
returned yesterday.
Finally. His points leagues, his strikeouts are going to hurt you, but I mean, if he's got enough power to overcome that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Anyone else on the most added list? It's
that was great.
What? Yeah. Well, Hark, you've been away for a week. We've been talking about RC all week.
Oh, okay. My bad. I should have listened to the podcast when
you
I woke up. So
yeah. You should have. Come on, man.
Rowenis Elias had another good start. That's two in a row.
Should I just take the rest of the podcast off?
No.
Just kick my feet up, you know?
No, Hark. We just want to hear about all your gambling stories.
Oh, okay.
What was your game?
Oh, craps. Or dice, as they call it.
Craps,
you know,
is crap. Too much for me. It's like... You gotta come with a lot of money.
No,
and
you know,
gotta be willing to lose a lot of money.
I mean, isn't that gambling? It's the house
no,
always wins.
I can
so.
Sit at a blackjack table.
Oh, blackjack!
At a $10
no.
blackjack table, and just bide my time, and maybe I won't win or lose that much, but I could enjoy myself for a half hour or whatever. Craps,
yeah.
You could lose like $70 in one roll.
Yeah, absolutely. But you gotta put in money to win money. So.
That's what I'm saying. I just said that, and you're like, no.
No, but I mean, it's fun. I mean, it has the best odds, so.
It does have the best odds, yeah. I enjoy
it's
crafts.
A social game, too.
But
I mean, I guess blackjack's a social game, too, but the thing you have to worry about is that, you know, you rely on other people to make the right moves, and in dice, all you have to do is the roll of the dice, so.
Right, yeah, it's very skilled, very skillful game. Anyway, anyone else on the most
nice
added
detour,
list?
Right?
Let's talk about Hector Noesi, or not Hector Noesi. Rowenis Elias, quickly here.
Okay.
Would you rather have Stroman or Elias?
Stroman.
Stroman.
By a lot.
How about Danks or Elias?
Elias.
Yeah, I guess so. They're both the same pitcher to me.
They're the same pitcher.
Let's say you didn't
can
have
we,
a... real quick. Let's say you didn't have a need. Didn't have a specific need. Stroman or Morales?
Stroman.
Yeah, Stroman, because I think he'll be valuable across all formats when Morales, he might hurt you in the leagues where walks count.
Can we name this the Marcus Stroman podcast? Because we've said his name about 100 times today.
We sure can. It is now. What do you got, Scott?
I just wanted to talk about the Indians closer situation. You mentioned Allen got a few more saves this week, and Terry Francona didn't give him really a vote of confidence over the weekend.
Why?
Because he said, I don't know that I have the exact quote, but he said he still considers it a by committee situation, and he still hopes to get Axford back in there eventually, but he's not really anxious to do it right now. Obviously, because Allen's pitching so well, and I still think this could be something where he takes off. And keeps the job, but it's not a done deal just yet.
It's good to know.
Doesn't sound like Bob Melvin with Jim Johnson. I'm taking him out for now. I want to get him back in the role, and then he never puts him back in the role.
And there are similarities in that neither Jim Johnson nor John Axford gets put in high leverage situations right now.
Yeah.
If they do, it's not very often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think Oakland's a done deal. By the way, Doolittle.
Doolittle's the man.
Yeah.
And most dropped, Jordan Lyles, David Phelps, Mitch Moreland, Seth Smith. Seth Smith, most dropped. That's crazy. Down from 52 to 38.
Well, it's just for the fact that his best numbers come at home, and he just came off of a nice stretch at home, and he didn't do anything. So people are like, he's done?
When I meant crazy, I should have said, like, eye-opening. Mm-hmm. I just think, like, you got to give people a little bit more leash, unless... You just figure he's replaceable and there's somebody else you liked. I get it. Like if you dropped him for one of the Twins outfielders.
Yep.
Alfonso Soriano, down 12%. I don't know how to feel about this. I mean, again, he's been sitting against righties.
Yeah. The report came out that they said they're going to...
I don't know that they're going to stick with that, though. When you're talking about Ichiro as a corner outfielder, you might be talking about the lowest slugging percentage of all corner outfielders that... I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
That qualify for a batting title. At least the least isolated power. Forget, because slugging percentage factors in batting average, too. But extra base hits.
Look at you dropping the ISO power.
Well,
like Al Melchior's here in the room.
Yeah. So if, in the spirit of Al Melchior, the Yankees might say, Ichi no.
Yeah. Oh.
But I get it, dropping Soriano. Do you guys still think he's got a big run left in him?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm okay dropping him. I might not in a roto five outfield to roto league with 6-7 man benches. You know, I might just stick him on my bench in case he does have one of his patented yeah. power surges.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm okay dropping him if I need to.
More drops: Tepish, Vicieto, AJ Pollock, Jaime Garcia, believe it or not.
Yeah, I know.
Tim Lincecum, Michael Pineda, Chase Headley, Joe Smith, Rafael Montero, Will Myers, Adam Eaton. Anything stand out?
I'm kind of disappointed with Nick Tepish. I mean, as I said a few weeks ago, I thought he really figured it out. He's a different kind of pitcher, and now he just goes back to being Nick Tepish. Unfortunate.
There you go. Let's go to the rest of the weekend stuff. We'll do some emails in a bit. Studs being studs. Pitchers owned in 80% of leagues or more who were great this weekend. Jordan Zimmermann, complete game, two-hitter, no runs, no walks, 12 strikeouts at the Padres. And that's two good ones in a row for Zimmermann, so yay. Jason Hamill keeps doing it. 7 innings, 6 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts, and he is at nearly a strikeout per inning.
I can't figure that out. And his whip's low, too, right? I
mean, yeah, he's not walking anybody.
Exactly.
That's like been the biggest.
Walks.
And he was a guy who gave up a lot of hits in the past, too, right? He would get hit hard at times. Yeah.
He'd get hit hard, and his walk rate usually wasn't that good. He had one year where he struck out a decent number of batters, so that seems to be happening again. He was still available in one of my leagues, my shallowest league. I finally put in a claim for him with this start. Somebody else did too, so I didn't get him. But I was finally willing to give in and say maybe this guy really could be a viable mixed leaguer rest of season. Hey, Travis Wood was last season, so
yeah.
Why could Hamill not do the same?
He's got very similar numbers to Dallas Keuchel. Their ERAs are identical practically. They're 1-6-3 with a 253, 1-7-3 with a 250. They've pitched within two innings of each other, about the same amount, with the same amount of strikeouts, and Keuchel has one more walk. I didn't realize this until now. They have almost the exact same line.
Yeah, but what name is a lot more fun to say?
Keuchel?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he wins.
Well,
Hamill always, like, I always think of Star Wars with him.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I do.
That's good.
Yeah.
I try to never think of Star Wars, Scott.
I know.
I tried my hardest to trade Dallas Keuchel this weekend.
Really? I'll take him.
I offered him.
You didn't make me an offer.
I offered him straight up for Justin Verlander. That was turned down.
Oh, well, that was stupid.
I offered him and Ian Kennedy for Julio Teheran. That was turned down.
Of course it was turned down.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to consolidate my pitchers
here. It's worth a try, but these podcast leaguers, they know what they're doing.
I know.
We need to get Al Melchior to tell us if Jason Castro is framing the pitches or what's going on. Is Bo Porter, you know, just instilling so much confidence in these guys? Colin McHugh. I can't believe that guy's still pitching well. Me too.
He sucked over the weekend.
Yeah, but it was another situation where he shot himself in the foot with walks. He's had three bad starts, but only one where he got hit hard.
Are you in general buying Dallas Keuchel, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought we were past that.
Yeah, we were. Felix Hernandez struck out 15. James Shields ended up with a good start, but there were a lot of base runners there. But 6 innings, no earned runs, 8 strikeouts. And Homer Bailey, hopefully starting to turn it around. He had a good start against the Phillies. Tell me, are you worried about any of the following? Max Scherzer.
I mean, if he's talking about Tommy John, but not really.
It's been I'm worried just in the sense that I don't understand it. I'm not acting on it, but 20 earned runs, 40 hits in his last 4 starts. Velocity looks good in everything. Strikeouts were there this past start. I'm just a little unsure what's going on. Yeah,
John Lester struggled at Detroit. 12 hits and 5 runs and 4 and a third. Didn't strike anyone out. And in the previous 5 starts before this one, 3-2 with a 4.02 ERA, about a hit per inning. A lot of it was fine. It wasn't great, but it was okay. But only 31 and a third innings in those 5 starts. So, you know, it's like okay. And then he got lit up here.
Isn't he about where he is for his career? I mean, those look like his career numbers to me. So,
right. Johnny Cueto, bad start. Kyle Loesch, bad start. Tyson Ross, three walks or more in four of his last five, and the one in which he didn't have three walks or more, he just got crushed. Phil Hughes had a bad start, but no walks again. Alex Cobb, people are worried about Alex Cobb. Since coming off the DL, he's 0-3 with a 6.55 ERA. Zach Wheeler was bad, and Sonny Gray, bad again at Baltimore, and in the six starts leading up to this one, 2-0, 3.18 ERA, that's fine, but 13 walks, 28 strikeouts, and 39 and two-thirds. The strikeouts have been pretty bad lately, except, of course, in this last one.
Are people concerned about Cobb? Cause
I'm seeing a little bit on Twitter.
Are they worried about his elbow? The thing for me is, if his elbow's fine, I think this is just he took a long time off, and he has to restart again. It's like spring training mode for him. As long as he's healthy, I'm not concerned.
And two of the four starts were good.
Yep.
Since the DL, just two have been really bad. So I'm not really worried about any of these. I think Ross and Wheeler and Gray, there are going to be some control issues from time to time. That's just part of the deal. But I think a lot of these pitchers are some regression to the mean. Certainly Cueto. Loesch was overdue for a start like this, a start or two like this. And I would add that Gray was too. Gray himself.
We got some time left here.
I love how Adam, you should see Adam in the studio right now. He just lay back, kick up his feet.
I don't really know what to talk about because I took so many notes this weekend and there's no way we'll get to everything. So I want you guys to scan the rest of the notes. And I'll pick out some stuff. You guys can pick out some stuff.
You're giving the keys to the inmates, man?
Hiroki Kuroda had another good start. Giovanni Gallardo was great. Aaron Harang walked six.
You know what I just want to say about Gallardo? Because you know I'm a huge Gallardo fan, and I think he's going to turn it around and finish the season strong. But Sunday starts, to me, give me the heebie-jeebies for the fact that...
the heebie-jeebies.
The fact that, you know, most of the teams are coming off maybe night games, and it's Sunday. And, I mean, can you really get motivated for Sunday games? I mean, all day games. It just seems like, you know.
Come on, really?
I'm always worried about Sunday starts because a guy could have, like, five bad starts, and then he pitches on Sunday, and he has a really good start. And I'm like, it's Sunday. I mean.
But okay.
Maybe all these guys have jet lag. There's no.
Jet lag from Sunday when they've already been playing in the series for two
Listen,
days?
I've been back for a few days, and I'm still jet lagged.
I can tell.
You know what? I wanted to mention Kuroda, actually, because he's only 78% owned, a guy who is normally universally owned. You said it was another good start for him.
It was. In fact, even the two runs, one of them was – the hits were kind of fluky.
Well, just to give you an idea of how he's performed recently, last eight starts, so basically every start since April, 3.44 ERA, 1.13 WHIP, 6.5 strikeouts per nine innings. Those are basically exactly his numbers from last year.
Right.
So he's fine.
Yep. Okay.
About Johan Santana? Oh, what a tough break.
Yeah, that stinks. He's out for the year. He tore his Achilles. We could do some more news and notes.
Oh, what about Travis Darno? Unbelievable.
Do we only Mets and only former Mets?
Yeah, why not? Let's just go. Listen, you said we could do what we want.
Yeah, Travis Darno sent down. Taylor Teagarden replaced him on the roster. Drop or stash?
Oh, you can drop him. If he starts to hit, I think it's a Colton Wong situation again. But again, he plays in one of the most hitter-friendly parks in all PCL, so he could be putting up sick numbers. This is a confidence move to see, you know, get him on the right track. But
it's what I wish the Reds were doing with Cingrani, as opposed to apparently moving him to the bullpen. We haven't mentioned that
God,
yet, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Cingrani's going to the bullpen.
At least that's the report. With,
you said that
with
was
Latos
such enthusiasm.
Coming back.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot to mention
and
that.
And I'm a little worried that could become a long-term thing. I mean, there was the reason the Reds were able to draft him where they did initially is because most people thought with the lack of a third pitch, that's where he'd have to pitch. The Reds let him start in the minors. He blew away everybody. Blew away everybody last year. But then this year, with the incorporation of the third pitch, it hasn't gone so well. So I'd rather them see him send him to the minors and hopefully work things out there. But I think certainly in standard mixed leagues, if this indeed comes to pass and he goes to the bullpen, that's justification to drop him.
Kyle Gibson entered his weekend start with an ERA of 1.85 at home and 7.39 on the road.
Ouch.
And then he threw 7 shutout innings against Houston at home. So, I don't know. Daily leaguers, if he's at home, he's got an ERA in the low ones. Chad Billingsley scheduled for a rehab start. He was scheduled for it yesterday. Not sure if he made it, but bottom line, anybody interested in Billingsley?
Yes. If you have a place to stash him in deeper formats, absolutely.
Andrew Cashner's back. Carlos Santana returned. He homered Saturday, batting 8th, then he batted 5th Sunday. Oswaldo Arcia returned with an 0-for-4 with 3 Ks. Mike Napoli returned. He went 3-for-4 with a homer. Latos should be back this weekend. Starter sit?
Sit.
Sit.
Michael Saunders expected back soon. Justin Smoke's been out with a quad. Zach McAllister set to join Cleveland's rotation this week. TJ House out, probably?
House out.
Outhouse.
I was trying to... okay.
Winging down the house?
That's okay.
Yeah, that works
all
too.
Right.
I was trying to think of a good pun.
Yeah. I'm quitting the show now. That was good. I'm out.
And Gio Gonzalez is making another rehab start this week. His first one didn't go so well. Paul in Richmond, Virginia was offered a trade in his 10-team mixed points league, giving up Carlos Gonzalez and Hisashi Iwakuma to get Alan Craig and James Shields. Giving up Cargo and Iwakuma for Craig and Shields.
I give it a... I'm just going to grade it. I give it a B.
You like it?
It's all right.
Because
I mean,
the,
I don't
you're worried
think,
about the Cargo injury?
I'm not... Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, you're getting Shields and Iwakuma, I'm pretty sure, right next to each other in my rankings.
Yeah, they're basically interchangeable.
Yeah, I mean, and Craig's, you know, coming around, and if you're worried about Cargo's injury, I don't think that's a fair...
I'd still rather have Cargo.
I mean, me too.
Even with this, well, then if you're saying the pitchers are interchangeable and you'd rather have Cargo, then it's a
but
it's
I said
a
B.
Deal.
I said I'll give it a B.
But C is B. Even, so a B means it's a good trade.
It's not a bad trade. B minus, fine. Listen, I'm off the reservation today, all right?
We got our grading on a curve.
What's your grade?
I mean, did it coming into the season like Alan Craig was like a top 15 outfielder or something? I mean,
he was. I'm not bashing Craig. I'm just saying I'd rather have Gonzalez. And if the pitchers are interchangeable, it's a losing deal. So C minus.
From Brian, dear Blake, Anders, and Adam, I would love your help finding a replacement for Rendon. First of all, you can start Rendon, but if you need one. Chisenhall, Solarte, Juan Francisco, Mark Reynolds, Matt Dominguez, Josh Harrison, Nick Castellanos, and Brock Holt. Who do you like for this week?
That's who I want to talk about, Nick Castellanos. What, 3 hit games in a row? Not bad. He's coming around.
Yeah.
In our 16-team league, I was thinking about really dropping him, and I was just looking at who was on waivers, and I was like, Castellanos upside compared to everyone else that maybe like Josh Harrison that was hitting well. I stuck with Castellanos, and he helped me win.
Nice.
I would... Is he who you're going with here? One-week replacement.
Either him or Chisenhall.
Actually, I do have Chisenhall as my sleeper at third, my start at third base this week, but I'd want to add Solarte just to own him. He's been hot again, batting average up near 300. The lowest it got was 283 during that kind of rough patch, so I think I'm still saying he's legit.
Adam, were you implying earlier that Brock Holt could be the next Solarte when you were talking about all this eligibility?
No, I all wasn't. Right. Solarte just hits so many line drives. I love it. Here's Scott Dodds in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's in a 14-team dynasty league. He's getting sick of Angelton Simmons. Should I drop him for Odor or La Stella?
I would drop him for neither. And I'm sick of him too. I'm not on the Simmons bandwagon. I'm just not sure either of those moves the needle for me, at least not at this stage of his career, for Odor.
I agree with Scott White.
Odor.
I wasn't me this time. Woohoo.
And Charles from Washington, D.C. wants to trade Kendrys Morales. What kind of starting pitcher could he get for Kendrys Morales?
Apparently Marcus Stroman.
There you
That's
go.
What we talked about earlier. I don't know. Is it a roto, does he say? I don't know that you could get anybody that special.
Yeah.
Maybe...
How about
maybe,
Roark?
Maybe Roark. Maybe you could buy low on, well, Maybe you could get like a Kuroda or Bailey because their overall number, Homer Bailey, because their overall numbers still look kind of bleh. And both have started to turn it around.
Who's the other Bailey?
Well, I just wanted to clarify since it's a common last name. It's not like Odor.
Odor. All right, we're done for the day. Thank you guys very much. Scott White, Michael Hurd, good to have you back.
Thank you.
I'm Adam Azer. Watch Fantasy Baseball Today live, noon Eastern Time. We'll talk to you then.
When you won't straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince of Mukamaka, Maka, 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 Maka.